Hey, I'm Hannah and welcome to Greener Fields, a podcast all about travel, immigration and living in Ireland in your 20s and 30s. During these conversations, I chat with Irish people at home and abroad all about their realities and experiences. We discuss the highs, the lows and everything in between, from friendships, connections, mental health, work and so much more, to help you decide for yourself where the grass is greener, either on the other side or just wherever you water it. Thanks for listening. Jordan, you are very welcome to Greener Fields. How are you getting on?
I am good. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here with you this evening.
Listen, I am just as delighted to have you here because we just both shared that we just had our dinner. So we're ready to go, ready and raring to go, which I feel like is consistent to a personality type, which I very much appreciate in you already. But listen, I found you through TikTok. I was sent your TikTok, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and there's going to be so much talking about that and, you know, the name of it and everything like that. But I think it would be great to get to know you a little bit. For those who may not know you, can you please tell me a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Jordan. I'm 28 years old and I am from Galway, a little town called Tuam. Most people know it whenever I mention that that's where I'm from in Ireland, even though it's a tiny town. I've lived in London now for 6 years. So very much, I would say, settled here for the moment. But yeah, and then I work in events, so I have a very busy schedule of kind of being up early in the morning, being out late at night, running around London, getting to see it for what it is, working in sort of the entertainment and music industry. So that is kind of what I do now.
I think London and entertainment and music, it's interesting. I spoke to another girl who lived in New York for a very long time and she worked in fashion. I'm like, London and entertainment kind of go hand in hand together. And I can imagine that keeps you very, very busy. And you've probably over those all those years you spent there so far have seen so many different versions of London, probably lived in different places. And obviously, it's going to be a big point of our conversation is about how it's been the last couple of years, why you moved there and all that good stuff. Because again, like we spoke about before we started recording, London is such a huge spot for Irish people. There is so many Irish people there. I've got so many friends there. It's close to home, but it's different, but it's close enough and all that good stuff. And I cannot wait to hear your take and your perspective on it. But I guess to give us a little bit more context to this conversation, would you mind telling me a little bit about your life before you decided to get on that Ryanair or Aer Lingus plane all those years ago and hop across the pond?
Yeah, in thinking about this chat that we were going to have, like, I was brought back to that Aer Lingus flight that I got on a Monday evening from Shannon to Heathrow, and kind of really brought back to the decision that I made to move to London. And basically, I was, you know, grew up in Galway.
Poor Galway people, I can hear them now being like, no, she didn't.
She's a full traitor.
Yeah.
No, grew up in Galway, went to school there, did secondary school. One of my biggest passions at the time in secondary school was being a part of musical theatre. And I loved it so much. And I thought that that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And so when I was applying to university, during Leave and Cert stage, I went, you know, first in CAO was performing arts in Sligo, as that was like the closest and most aligned with what I wanted to do or what I thought I wanted to do at the time. And I wasn't 2-3 months down there and I realized this ain't for me. And no offense to any listeners who love Fair City or any actors who are on there, but in my mind at that time, and I think it comes with being from a small town or like not having huge prospects in your mind, all I could think was that that was like the peak of what I could reach from doing that, because my mind hadn't been broadened yet, I guess. So I just looked at kind of my surroundings and I thought, I don't fit in here. I don't want to do this anymore. And I went home and worked. And I loved working. I worked in a petrol station for about 4 years and was really passionate about it, like the business side of things. Had a really great boss who kind of, you know, looked after me, put me through sort of like management college. And I realized that business was something that I was very passionate about, but again, didn't know, like my aspirations were still like, there was a glass ceiling, you know, they could only go so far and they were kind of like within this business. And then I met my boyfriend, and that was in like 2015. We were seeing each other for a few years, and then we like started going out, and his dream was always to move to London to be similar to his cousin who had lived here for a few years, and he used to come and visit him, and he was an accountant. So my boyfriend kind of did the same thing, did his leaving cert, became an accountant, was like, eventually I'm going to live in London. And when he mentioned it to me, I just was like, yeah. It was like the easiest decision. I didn't even think about it. It was like, yeah, I would go there. So we went away on a weekend and I just fell in love with it. And then that just made the decision easier because, like, you know, I had it in my mind's eye of what life could be like. And before I knew it, we were on a plane and signed up to a 2-year lease. And that was kind of what we said we would do and see how things went. And then, you know, yourself, as time goes on, it just flies by. And all of a sudden I've been here now for 6 years.
Amazing. And for me, there's so much in that already. And again, I'm just thinking of the two year lease and telling your family, I'm going to be back, I promise. And we know that in hindsight, that isn't the case, but also, you know, this throwing it back to being in college. A lot of people who listen are in college or things like that. And this idea of thinking we know what we want to do when we're 18 or 17 or 18. And I think we've all been in that boat. Now, some people are really lucky. They still want to do that when they get a little bit older. But I always think that the road we think that is going to be much more direct than it actually is. Mm-hmm. And for yourself, Jordan, it wasn't as direct as that. And you went back, moved home, was working and found that kind of drive and passion for business. But like you said, it was capped to a certain extent. Like, that was it. And I'm guessing that has completely changed going to London, because the days I've spent in London over the last couple of years, I can't help but feel the energy of the city and opportunities and possibilities and people and everything like that. So I can only imagine the kind of contrast of that experience. But one of the big decisions we ask, you know, our guest is how we come to the decision to emigrate. And you kind of mentioned it already that it was something that your boyfriend mentioned. And for you, it kind of, I guess, just made sense. Like, it doesn't seem anyway that it was too like titanic, like that you were never going to come home, you're never going to see your family. It was just something that kind of made sense. Is that how it felt for you? Or was there a little bit more to that decision? I guess because you probably didn't think it was as long term as it has been.
Hey, my name is Hannah and I am the host of Greener Fields. If you're enjoying this conversation, make sure to leave us a rating, share it with your friends, and follow us on Instagram to keep up to date with all things Greener Fields.
Yeah, I think it did make sense, and it made sense because I probably was more of a dreamer than I even thought that I was. You know, like when I think back on it now in retrospect, it's like, yeah, I was obviously always trying to like make the best of any situation that I was in. So I was a big dreamer, but I just couldn't dream far enough. And so to kind of have the prospect of moving to London, it was like, yes, absolutely, I'll do that because it makes sense for me. But also, like, I have a very close relationship with my mom and my family. So it wasn't like being asked to move to Australia or New Zealand or, you know, kind of further afield, or America, where you're on one of those long flights and time differences that get in the way of your home life at that time. I was still quite young, you know, I was 22 when I moved, mm-hmm. Which in mind now, I'm like, you think that you're an adult, you've had your 21st, you've had your 18th. But when you think back, you're like, wow, I was still hadn't been kind of explored or discovered, and I was still maturing up until probably a year or two ago, I would say. But yeah, I think that's what it was. It was an easy decision because it made sense and nobody sort of tried to hold me back in any way. My boss found out without me telling him, and he was, you know, really happy for me, was sad to see me go, but kind of he found out way earlier than I wanted to tell anyone as well. So it just kind of became like this gradual push of when you're gone. And so by the time it came to go in, it wasn't really like a massive deal because we'd been talking about it for so long. And I think for my mom, and I thought about this as well, like she has been to see like a couple of psychics, you know, as part of like girls' nights or just out of interest, or when you're at a difficult point in your life, like she'll have these group nights with a psychic. The girls at work are always laughing at me when I tell them that. I'm like, we should do one. But she would always say to her in every single reading that one of your children would be like emigrated. And often she'd mention Australia, and then sometimes she wouldn't mention a country at all. And she would always say, you'll be traveling back and forth. And I think sometimes with psychics, you end up kind of living the life that they tell you that you're going to. And probably in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, somebody told my mom that one of us is going to be gone, so it's going to be me.
I mean, Jordan, there's comfort in that almost, in the way it's like, well, they said it's going to happen, let's just fulfill that prophecy.
Why not?
Like, there's, yeah, 100% of them, that makes sense to me. And I think, you know, again, like a lot of the time, and it's funny that you kind of mentioned the kind of like slow fade of your actual emigration day. And that has been, I think, the case of a lot of people on this podcast, but also a lot of my friends just who have just lived their lives, like who I just know, and they have been talking about emigrating for years. Like, it was always on the cards. But even when others who kind of just thought about it, they were talking about it, and then I remember them handing in their notice, and they didn't want their bosses to find out because they wanted to, all these different things. And that's again another slight complexity to emigration. It's not just you pack your bags and leave. There is jobs, there is accommodation, there's family, there's events and things like that, that I think again kind of puts weight onto the decision. But I still think it maybe depends on the location and all of that good stuff, that it's no longer the sense of like the Titanic where it's like you pack your bags, you go, you're never going to talk to them again, you're never going to come home. That doesn't really happen as much with a lot of people who we speak to on this podcast, at least. And, you know, again, London, for a lot of people in Ireland, it's a place that's kind of familiar, I think, from my perspective. Like, a lot of people may have been there, or they would have done the London Eye. I remember doing Legoland. Like, I can't remember what age I was in London and all that good stuff. So I, not too many times, but I've always been familiar with it as a place. My mum works quite a lot over there. And again, it doesn't feel too far away. But for you, in that kind of maybe first couple of months, if you can think back, I know it's been a while, think back to that time of what it was like to actually move there. You had your boyfriend, he was moving over there. I'm not sure if you had a job or accommodation, and it's probably changed over time. But yeah, those first few months of trying to figure out like who you are, where you're going to be, what you're going to do, no matter where it is in the world, can sometimes be a little bit challenging. Was that the same for you?
Yes, I would say I was really lucky, and I think this is classic, like Irish people looking after Irish people, and also part of being from a small town, in that everybody kind of knows what decisions you're making before you've really kind of started telling anyone. And somebody from a like major construction business at home also had an office here in London, and they heard that I was moving and called up my boss at the time and said, tell her we'll give her a job. Literally, they were like, call this number, we'll get her in for an interview, but yeah, we'll give her a job. And at that time, all I had been thinking about was, I work in shift work. Like, I work, you know, Sunday evenings sometimes, I work early Tuesdays, like every 2 weeks I was getting my rota in this place that I worked. And I realized that like that just wouldn't work in London. I didn't want to be on a different time scale to my boyfriend or to most people who are on their 9-to-5s. And so getting that information to be like, well, here's a 9-to-5 job handed to you, your first office job, easy, was amazing. And I think that is a testament to Irish people and what we will do for each other, even when we don't really know them that well, we just know of them. And so I felt really looked after, but it was a job in construction. So it wasn't what I had thought that I wanted to do. But again, in the same way that I would have in my job in the petrol station, I was like, how can I make this the best possible job for me? Or how can I get the most out of this? And part of moving to a big city, and I don't know if other people have expressed this, but if you don't have a degree on your CV, it's extremely worrying. Like, it's the thing that you think about every time you apply for a job. I was really insecure about it. So either I wanted to get great experience from this job or try and do a degree within it. And they were like a tier one contractor, which just means they turn over a lot of money each year. So they have huge programs to like generate degrees for people that are within the company. And I thought about it. And then I just, something was in the back of my mind just going, like, don't commit to that. Let this be the job that it is until it isn't, and then, you know, kind of move on. And I'm glad that that thought came to me for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But I think that was probably like the biggest struggle, was just the early on, like, year being like working kind of outside London a little bit in a job that I didn't really love or have an attachment to, and kind of just thinking, this isn't really what I came here to do. And also being quite young, so like not really knowing how to communicate and vocalize and make decisions to improve my situation. So there were a lot of tears, you know, on the evenings and at the end of weeks about kind of how I was going to improve my work life. And I'll let you ask a question if you want, but that was improved basically by COVID happening, essentially.
No, and honestly, keep going, because I think I can imagine that it's something where you have this idealized version, particularly of London, and this kind of like slick, in my head, is like, if I was to paint a picture, it'd be slick. It's all, you're going all these places, you're getting Greg's coffee or whatever, things like that. Pret now, I know it's here, which is very exciting, but all these different things, and it's just like fast paced, it's exciting, it's dinner after work, it's drinks, it's friends, all that good stuff. But that's not always the case, but that's for some reason what my idealized version here is. And for you, that obviously changed because of the pandemic. And I'm guessing like everything changed for a lot of people because of the pandemic and those couple of years. What happened there that changed your work situation quite dramatically, it sounds like?
It didn't change quite dramatically right away, but it changed quite dramatically for a good period of time. So basically when, you know, kind of COVID was announced as something that was going to start shutting down the country, there was a big question about whether it would shut down construction because they didn't want that industry to stop. And although construction didn't stop, companies obviously had to look at their overheads, and furlough was introduced to the UK. And then I was offered it and I said, yes, please, no problem, I will go home. Catch you later. And I ended up being off for 9 months. Which is incredible. Like, I mean, we always think back on it and laugh and say, like, even if you had a baby, you wouldn't get 9 months paid off. Wow. And so I feel really lucky because some people were completely burnt out in that time, whereas I just had a great time to mature into myself and spend a lot of time, I think, looking inward, looking back at the first 2 years of London, which, you know, work aside, were so much fun. Like, it was an Irish company that I worked for, so it was almost strictly Irish people that I worked with. And you can imagine the crack that you're having, like, you know, with a mix of girls and boys that are all kind of just there to, yes, have a job and a career, but ultimately, like, to have a good time. And by God, we did have a good time, you know, too, sometimes. And I think that was what the break or the furlough gave me, was kind of just a moment to sit back and be like, okay, that was great, but it needs to kind of come to an end. And you start thinking about, not so much the future a little bit, but just like, what do I want? And I enjoyed my time off so much that I thought I would wanted to become a teacher just so that I could be off for summers. Like, this is what I want to do. And I actually ended up resitting my maths, which, like, a lot of people do, like, to resit their Irish if they don't get the grades in their leaving cert. And I ended up doing a maths course while I was off, reset my maths, and applied to loads of primary school degrees, basically, like Mary I and everything back home, and had in my head that we were going to move home and I was going to college and everything. And then kind of furlough came to an end and I just was like, actually, no. London is coming back into itself. That was just a weird thing that I thought that I wanted to do, but actually I don't want to leave here. And again, these decisions, like, they weren't things that I sat and thought about too much. Like, I just kind of always just go with, like, the next thing that I think that I want to do, and then allow myself to be stopped if it doesn't feel right, I guess. And so when furlough came to an end, I went back into construction, but this time working for a much smaller company and, like, directly with the owner of the company, the director. And he is the one of the kindest people that I could have met in London. And funnily enough, he's, like, second generation English, so both of his parents are Irish, so we had a really nice connection. The day that we met, like as soon as he heard my accent, he was just so excited that I represented a part of him that he didn't actually know that well because he was brought up here, you know. And so we got on really well, and he was great in sort of kind of trying to shape me into a better business person, I guess. Like in my first few months, I asked if I could attend university because, as I said, I was very insecure about not having a degree on my CV. And he agreed to pay for my degree. So he ended up paying for the first 2 years. And I'm still in that degree now, paying for the second half of it because I don't work there anymore. But as part of working construction, you can often be on really fun projects. And we were building a hotel that was above a music venue. And one day he saw me in the office and he just said, "You're not happy." And I said, "I wish I was." And this music venue had just opened that we were building on top of. And he said, "I think you should work with them," because I'd made friends with like a few of them around and I've been watching them closely. And he said, "Would you like me to introduce you to those who are running it?" And I said, "Yes." And within a week, they agreed to give me a job. So, you know, you just kind of really have to take London for like a play. It's not necessarily like who you know. It's not really about being like in on the who's who, but just realizing that every person that you come in contact with is like a stepping stone to the next thing.
Wow. Like for me, Jordan, he just sounds like such a great person. Like that's all. I'm like, oh my God. Like I know there's those people out there like that, but you don't hear enough about those really good, influential people in your life that, you know, like that aren't kind of family or like have to be good. Like are these just people who just are just genuinely good? And he just sounds incredible. And for you, that is such a it is such an interesting journey to where you are today. It's like, it like you said, we speak so much about it on this podcast. It's like that kind of felt sense, gut feeling. It's like a lot of people make decisions based off that, and I think you're kind of probably one of them. It's like it could be teaching until you know for sure it's not, and all these different things. And this gets you to working in events in London. And again, for me, I'm just like the opportunities, like you said, it's not about who you know, but I think it's for me thinking that there are opportunities in London if you're open to them. That's kind of what I'm hearing for that. And I guess that's probably with everything. It's like, you know, not going to say there's 1,000 opportunities or maybe they're always going to be the perfect opportunity, but maybe there are some if we're open to them in the first place. And for you, you were. And to be working, like I said, you know, we spoke about earlier on, it's like to be working in events in London is kind of like hand in hand. Like it sounds busy, it sounds chaotic, it sounds fun and exciting. What is your job like now? Because I know people are going to be interested in this because of the fact that it is kind of so classic London in a different way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because as soon as I stepped into that job, I was like, now I have a London job. You know, you can't have this job everywhere. It doesn't exist everywhere. It's not going to be the same. Even in New York, you know, it's not going to be the same there as it is here. This is a London job. And I can't take this home with me. So I have to soak up every last bit of it while I can. And so the work that we do, I guess I work for two music venues, predominantly music venues, but then there's private and corporate events peppered in there throughout the year. So I manage the events that are private. So basically like from sales to delivery, I will be the kind of point of contact with clients that are coming in. And that can vary from a private social party for 50 people right up to like a brand launch of, you know, 800 to 1200 people. And yeah, it is really fun. It's really creative. And I think the best part of it is, you know, I worked so long with predominantly men and it was fun and everything. But then when you kind of come into a job like this, you're seeing more people who are like you, are the same age, a lot more women, which is great. Like our business is run by a woman and it's predominantly women that we work with, but they're all like a similar age and have just are flowing with ideas and are really fun. And, you know, kind of it's a very exciting place to work, I will say. You know, there's never a dull moment. Some days are harder than others, but you kind of just look back on your week or look back on your month and think, God, I can't believe I was a part of that. You know, my name is kind of stamped on that forever. I always get to say, I did this or I did that. for years to come, you know, when you're looking back and you're a little bit older and you're kind of reminiscing on things, these, like being in events, you have created something that would be remembered.
Absolutely. And I think it's just like you said there, it's like this was the London job that you maybe would have spent maybe 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years hoping for, thinking for, wishing for, and now you have it. And again, it just makes so much sense that this is the job that you think about that maybe you'd want to do when you're in London, and now you're doing it. And it didn't happen straight away, it took a little bit more time, but now you're in it, and it does sound exhausting but exciting and creative and really, really fun, like you said. And I guess alongside that, when we think about London, and I asked a couple of friends who I know who are thinking about moving to London before this conversation, I said, like, what would you like me to ask Jordan? And it comes up as a question that we ask most of our guests. It's like, how do you are away from home, not that far away compared to other people, but how are you building that sense of like home away from home, the friends that become family? I know with London, the girls that I know who are over there, or the girls and guys, there's such a massive Irish community there. And as much as they tried to mix properly with the other people in London, they almost always found their way back to the gaffitch or the Irish pub, or the person who knows the person who knows the person. And I think that's so lovely. Like, I just love that. I think it's, again, like you said, about getting the first job in construction. It's like there is something uniquely Irish about that. I don't know what it's called, but it's just something particularly special. But for yourself, Jordan, how have you gone about over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years making friends? I'm guessing outside of work in a different capacity, maybe through home, that has helped you kind of transition that this isn't just a short-term gig or travel, that it's kind of full on immigration and there's life to be led as well as adventure, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's really important to kind of open yourself up to more than just the Irish community if you want to make kind of lifelong friends, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, there will be a huge amount of Irish people who've emigrated to London who may stay forever, but you're also kind of setting yourself up to lose friends, because you could make a best friend and then next year they've decided that they're moving home or they're moving on to the next country. So I do think that there is something wonderful about all the cultures that you meet in London, but you have to be kind of careful about who you invest your time in, because actually that's the wrong way to say that. You don't have to be careful about who you invest your time in. If you really like somebody, do it. But I think it's important to find people who maybe have quite deep roots in London if you're thinking about staying for a little bit more time, because you kind of can have a bit more of a guarantee that they're going to be around a little bit longer, or can show you a side of London that you aren't necessarily going to pick up on by hanging out with, you know, predominantly Irish people. I think the Irish community in London is incredible, and it's such a sprawling network and everybody is able to look out for each other. But a huge part of my London experience and what I enjoy about London is the way that it has broadened my mind to other cultures and the things that I get to experience that are a little bit more English or British, kind of traditional annual things that may happen. And so it's easy to stick to your own, and that's absolutely fine if that's where you're comfortable. But my advice would be to kind of maybe sort of branch out and put yourself out there to meet people who are not just Irish, I would say.
It's funny that you say that, because that is actually, I'm now seeing that since when I've started the podcast, that the people who, anyone who's emigrated, particularly I'm thinking to like places like Australia and Canada, they have become friends, maybe not uniquely with Irish people, but with a lot with Irish people. And then their friends have come home. And like that has happened and that has transpired. And I've spoken to people about that's the transient nature of friendships when you're traveling, particularly people who are like doing Southeast Asia or things like that, is one thing. But there's also a transient nature of like kind of friendship of people who, but just by default, like that happens at home, but it probably feels a little bit less severe because there is the family and there's the same person in the shop or things like that. So not as much is changing, but we do see that now. And that's why it's like really good advice that if you can spread your capacity to make friends with people from all around the world, different cultures, and there's probably no better place to do that in the world than London. I mean, like London, every time I go there, I like have like a shock to the system, because I'm like, I haven't seen this many people in months. And I'm just on the tube with like, it feels like millions of people. And I know that's not actually the case, but that's what it feels like. And so that's just really good advice. And I think, you know, when it comes to emigration, travel, London life, there is the highlights and the lowlights. And me sitting here in the attic in Dublin, firstly, I'd like you to tell me the highlight or the best thing or the best place of your experience. And then I want you to bring it back down to earth and tell me a little bit about a lowlight to balance out this conversation, because you've experienced so much over the last couple of years. I think, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this answer.
Wow.
No pressure, Jordan. No pressure.
It's such a big question, like the highlight of London. I mean, the highlight of living in a place like London is just the sheer amount of experience that you can have. Like, I know that that's not one highlight, but the fact that I can say this weekend, you know, I'm not going anywhere. Yes, I'm not going anywhere, like leaving the city, but I'm in London. Like, people come here for weekends away. They come here on their holidays. And I get to experience that without the sort of cost of accommodation. Obviously, I have rent, but you know, you don't think about that on your Saturday and Sunday weekend nights. So I think that is just the fantastic thing about it, is that no 2 weeks are the same, whether that's just because of the time of year or what's on. Like, every Saturday you can do something completely different, and you probably couldn't have done it last Saturday, and you probably can't do it next Saturday. So I think that's, you know, one of my favorite things. And we touched on it earlier, is just the opportunity. Like, it is the land of opportunity if you let it be. Not everybody is going to be comfortable here, but if you let London sort of come to you, it will. And I think that's the most fantastic thing about it. And probably actually that is the highlight. It's just the opportunity for anything, not just jobs, not just experience, not just social, like everything. There's an opportunity sort of every morning that you wake up here until the end of the day.
With all that opportunity and experience, and that's such a good answer to that, because I think that's how I would associate London for the seven or eight times I've been there over the last 26 years. Like, I get that as well. I'd love to hear about maybe some of the more challenging things, or one of the more challenging things from, you know, maybe not just London, but just emigration in general, because again, we always stress it. I feel like I'm like repeating myself all the time with these podcasts, but it's like, there's a big difference between travel and emigration. For emigration, there's still life, there's still bills to pay, there's still work. And it is different, and not to say it's bad or good, but that it just, there's still that kind of just life involved, and it can be very difficult when you're sitting at home and your friends are in Sydney or in London and they seem like they're having this absolutely amazing time, and they probably are, to think that it's always going to be better on the other side. But bring it back down to earth for us, Jordan. Is there a little bit of low lights amongst all that exciting opportunities?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, with every opportunity, I think there's, you know, another side to that. And that's kind of like the pressure and the work that it takes mm-hmm. to sort of either let it come to you or to actually get that opportunity. And I think that that is something that I've probably felt a huge amount. It's probably two things that I felt a huge amount over the last definitely 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like loneliness at times. You know, everybody's busy. Like, everybody is always out there with, you know, getting the opportunities, which just means that everybody is busy all the time. And so kind of like feeling like you can have those easy friendships with people isn't possible. You know, if anybody has that, I'd love to know how. But in London, it's really hard to sort of maintain relationships. And that's probably why people find it difficult to start up friendships, because they have to be really low maintenance. And so there's loneliness, and then also the pressure to be successful. You know, there's a huge amount of wealth in this city. You're always looking at different levels of wealth in terms of like people's ages. I'm looking at people who are 10 years younger than me and they're super duper wealthy, whether that's generational or new money or because they're a successful influencer, or you're always working for people who you can find inspirational, but then you feel like you're working harder than they are, and yet they kind of get the big benefits of it. So you probably... the way to describe that is just like comparison and the pressure of sort of reaching new heights because you're here. Mm-hmm. And the pressure of sort of coming home and being like, yeah, no, it is all going really well. And it is really like, I'm successful. It's happening for me. When in reality, you are just kind of working day to day, and it doesn't always feel like a success. You kind of have to like reflect on it and be like, oh yeah, you know, I remember when I wasn't so much at this stage where I am now. And that's great that I've thought about it, because actually I haven't gone like stayed one note or leveled out. I've just, you know, gotten there slowly.
No, I think with that, Jordan, it's like experience, opportunity, and then loneliness and comparison was kind of the four words. And I'm like, there's so much, I think, when people hear that, I think there's just lots of comfort in that. Like, I get a lot of comfort from that, that's, and it's very similar to a conversation I had with a girl who lived in New York for 7 years. And she was like, it's just the best, it's the best and worst part of it is that it's, there's so much opportunity, it's so exciting, but also there's so much opportunity, it's so exciting, and it's exhausting, and there's comparison, and it's hustle, grind culture, and long hours and things like that. And I just think it's not to say it's good, bad, or indifferent, but that it's just, there's always going to be the two sides to that. And I think this podcast does a really good job, if I can say that, does a good job at highlighting the both to it. It's not either or, it's like and but and or whatever. It's not either or, it's and both is how I think we say it in my world. And I think that is just good for people to hear from people who have actually experienced it, and not people who are much older or different. It's like people who they can connect with and relate to. And a lot of people connect and relate to you, particularly because of, I think, a project or a passion project that you have set up, where I found you personally, and it's called The Crack in London. And for my good deep stalk of the TikTok page specifically, I saw where I found out and have found out all these amazing recommendations about Irish things in London when it comes to what's going on in London, new Irish businesses, but also a little bit of your perspective and your take on things, which is hopefully with this conversation is going to have shone such a light on. Can you tell me a little bit about The Crack in London, why you set it up, and what you're doing with it? Because, you know, from what I can see on TikTok, it's going pretty well. It's going pretty well, which is amazing to see.
Thank you. Yeah, so The Crack in London, which I haven't really ever, you know, put this out on The Crack in London about kind of how it came to be. But as I mentioned earlier, I am doing an undergrad and it is in business and marketing. Mm-hmm. And I will say I've always been interested in social media. Like, I've always wanted to have, like, whether that's just like a nice looking grid on my own personal Instagram or a page that is dedicated to something. And about, I would say like a year and a half ago, like I kept just like trying, actually during COVID, I kept just trying to like brainstorm, like, how can I have an Instagram page that has a following? Like, what can I tell people about? Does it have to be about me? And I set one up and it was JMPLDN. And basically it was just pictures that I really liked that I had taken around London. But I felt like everybody who followed me was just people from home. And I was like, ugh, scratch that, you know, that's nice, but I don't want to just have like a secondary Instagram account. So that was that. But I think I was always just thinking, what am I interested in? And like a lot of what I'm interested in is food and entertainment, and how do I tell people about that, but with like, how do I bring something new to it? Mm-hmm. And so when I was studying, we had a module that was digital marketing, and the project for that module was to create a social media account on a platform. And basically you had to run it for 8 weeks and then follow kind of like each week of the module, whatever was brought up in that module, apply it to your content and report on it. Yeah. And I thought, okay, what do I love? I love eating out. I love food. I'll make a food account. But then I was like, but everybody has a food account, you know? And I have a friend who has a food account. And when I told her, she just gave me daggers, as in like, that's my thing. And I was like, fair enough, you know what, we go for food together a lot, so I don't want the two of us to be kind of anchoring for the same shots. Like, you're dead right, we will scratch that, I won't do that. And I just had to sit and think, what do I know? And I was like, I am an Irish girl in London, so let me share what it is to be an Irish girl in London. And then I just think and felt at the time that there was such a surge, whether I was being targeted more or there was really a surge in Irish business in London. But that's how it felt, that there was just like a lot more proud Irish London business. Mm-hmm. And whether that was in conjunction with other London people or an Irish pub or like restaurants that were opening, I just felt that I was able to build out this really great list. And I thought, there's something here. And I think people should know about this, because when I moved here, all I was looking for was like, where is the crack? Like, where is the crack? Because London is very different to go out in as opposed to at home. I always have thought, and I always say to people, you kind of have to have a list. Like, you kind of have to have your ear to the ground and know where to go. And likely on a night out, you're going to have to get a taxi from here to here and a tube to here. There's not one hotspot like what we're used to in on Shop Street in Galway, for instance, or like Grafton Street in Dublin, like where you know that what you're going to find on that street. London is very higgledy-piggledy, and that's the beauty of it. But it makes it hard to navigate London if you don't kind of know where you're going. So I wanted to consolidate all of that information that I have had and often share with people who move here and sort of bring it to the masses, so that it's both supporting Irish people moving to London or people who have lived here for a while and not really known where to go, but then also in turn supporting the Irish people who have started businesses and concepts and groups within the city, just to kind of give them a backing. Like, not that my backing means anything, but just to kind of continue to just sort of give them a bit of a resurgence and share it out with people, so that I guess people don't feel so alone.
And that is in my, from my deep stalk of your page, like, that is what I think you're doing. And the variety of things you showcase, like, I was looking at it, like, there's the Irish dancing lessons, there's the chicken fillet rolls, there's the Irish bars. And I think, I mean, that is, my TikTok was filled with I think your content, because of where my algorithm lies, which is, I guess, the Irish abroad. And it's, again, I think there is, whether it's a resurgence or things like that, I think people are just craving that sense of, what is it actually like over there, which is one, but also, like, what do you, when you get over there, what are you doing, where are you going, how are you not losing that sense of home but also getting that sense of adventure at the same time? And I think it's just such a beautiful, firstly, such an amazing idea for an assignment in college, but also such a, I guess, a lovely thing to be able to merge your kind of Irishness by default and your life in London together. And I guess for people listening to this, this will hopefully be out within the month we record it, like, what is the crack in London? Is there something that you can recommend to someone, a particularly Irish pub or a restaurant? Or I can't think, I'm pretty sure it was your content that there was a new chicken fillet roll, kind of like the farmer's market thing and things like that, that Vogue Williams shared. I'm not sure, did she share something like that? Good. And all these different things. Like, is there something that specifically stands out to you now today on the 16th of April that you're like, this is the crack in London for the next couple of weeks?
I think the crack in London, actually, like, one of the places that I visited most recently, and it's very recently opened, and either they've just got an amazing marketing team or it is just the best place in London at the moment, is a new bar called Nancy Spain's that I went to recently. I was invited kindly to come and try, like, the food and the drinks and everything, and I mean, the crack is 90. Like, there is live music, which is the epitome of an Irish pub and something that English pubs, everybody who will know if they live here or visited here, is lacking for whatever reason. They don't like to put pub singers in the corner, but we know that that's kind of like what makes the crack happen. And it's very much run by Irish people. You're kind of served by Irish people. It's full of Irish people. And when I stepped in there, I felt like I could have been in the Pucón in Galway. Like, it just really feels like it's been plucked out of a city from home and popped into London. So if somebody is looking for a home away from home and they want to visit somewhere, I'd say Nancy Spain's in Shoreditch as well, which is, like, really rare. And something that's kind of happened recently is that the Irish in London, like, the community used to be very much stuck to the Northwest, but it's sort of slowly but surely kind of came more central, which just makes it a little bit more accessible for the masses, really, and ensures that you're still going to, like, a good area for a night out or for a bit of food, that you don't have to kind of head off into the outskirts of the city.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for people listening to this conversation, they're probably already going to follow you or going to go straight to follow you as well, because I think there's, even for me, like, you know, I hope to come to London in the summer and things like that for a couple of days, but I just love watching stuff like that, because I think And again, it's been a lot of how we've got guests on the podcast. It's different people doing different things when it comes to sharing their life in Australia, or people doing FIFO in the mines, or people in Canada doing their first ski season. And like documenting just their daily life in a different version, I think it's so creative. But also there's people love that. And you can tell probably by your growth and your engagement is that people are following and engaging, because whether they're there or not, it's like there's something about just seeing what's going on the other side of the world, maybe closing your eyes, thinking, could I live that life? What would it look like to live in London? And I guess for yourself, Jordan, is there a little bit of advice or something like that, that if Irish people are listening to this conversation are like, I should move to London, or maybe even open up to bigger, that, you know, they're thinking about emigrating or changing careers, which is kind of what you've done as well, or going back to college. Is there something likely cringy, likely cheesy that we love here on this podcast? That you can leave with the listeners? Because yeah, I just think it's just really interesting. Your whole story has been really interesting to me.
I think, you know, we touched on it before. My number one piece of advice is really just go with your gut. That will tell you when something feels right or it doesn't feel right. And if you are, you know, I say this to anybody who I've worked with over the years, if they're going home every day and they're complaining about a job that they're in, leave. You know, it's not really going to get better if it's not for you. And I think that that probably goes for people who are emigrating as well. If you don't feel happy in Ireland and you are consistently looking at other countries to move to, like, put some plan in place to like at least try to make it happen, in the same way that I did try to make teaching happen. But then I realized, you know what, actually it's not going to happen. It's not for me, but I did the steps to get there. If you don't try, you'll never know. And I think that is probably what my advice is, to just try it and then allow your instincts to tell you whether it's for you or it's not, because they'll never let you down as long as you're listening.
I mean, again, such good advice. And it's something we keep coming back to on this podcast, because I think we don't listen to it enough. We're listening to logic or emotion or things like that. But that gut feeling, it's like, it's really, really loud, or we do a very good job at shutting it up. And I guess, Jordan, for yourself, like, this podcast is called Greener Fields because it's my cringy, cheesy take on the quote or proverb or whatever it is the grass greener where you water it, or greener on the other side? For you, where is the grass greener?
I suppose my Irishness hates me to say this, but the grass is greener for me away from home. And in that sense, it almost makes the grass greener at home in my mind, because I definitely think if you move away from home, and I think that this is something special about Irish people, we have this amazing memory of Ireland that we keep in our minds. And that's why we walk around so proud to be Irish, and we never really lose our accents, and we're always willing to hang out in the Irish pub because we're not ashamed of where we're from. But more often than not, home isn't for us. So I think the grass is greener for me in London and probably anywhere else that I go. But it means that I always have this wonderful memory of Ireland that I kind of carry with me everywhere that I am and share with the people that I meet.
What a special answer, Jordan, because it's probably one of the first answers I've got like that. And I think it's so true, because even if I think about TikTok, it's like, when I go back to Chicago, I feel it. And those, that trend of people romanticizing the shite out of the one sunny day we get with like Kerry and Galway and Connemara and all these different things. And I think it's so beautiful that that answer for you rings true. It's that it's actually not home right now, or maybe it may never be, we don't know. But there is that sense of you, and I don't think you get that in other cultures. I certainly can't think of any that are so proud and are so connected with their Irish heritage, even if home isn't for them, even if they haven't been at home or lived at home, that they're going into the Irish pubs, like you said, they don't lose their accents. They're setting up things like the Crack in London to showcase Irish businesses and Irish people, despite the fact that Ireland may not specifically be for them. Like, there is something, I don't think it's as easy as saying something is as black or white as that anymore. And like, we either stay at home forever and never leave, or we go away and hate everything about it. It's like, there is more often than not, there's a gray area. And it's like I say a couple before, it's like this idea that you can love Ireland, but And like, that's a full sentence too. And for a lot of people who I've spoken to, that rings true to them. And, you know, when it comes to towards the end of this conversation, I know people are going to be following you, going to be like, this has been such a refreshing conversation about like the highs and lows, the good, the bad, another perspective on this wider conversation of travel and immigration, but also just people, Irish people in their 20s and 30s, and just trying to get an understanding of like, where are people's heads at? For yourself, like, what are your hopes for the future? What are your hopes for the Crack in London? How can we support you? How can we follow along? Because yeah, I think you're part of the Greener Fields community now. And unfortunately, this is for good. They're not going anywhere. And I know the listeners who'll be listening to this will want to know, like, what's next for you and how can we support you?
Well, that's great. Thank you for welcoming me into the Greener Fields. I'm happy to be here. yeah, if anybody's listening, please follow the Crack in London. That's a big shout out, because it spurs me on to continue to like create the content that I want to create. And I think there is only so much Irish business in London as well. So part of kind of like what I want to focus on this year is to just, I guess, a little bit more of what we've just discussed now about me and kind of, but not to be about me, in order to just kind of show people what a journey in London can look like, so that if you are thinking about moving here, or if you are already here and you're feeling a certain type of way, there's a sense of comfort that you can sort of visit online. And also, I think what I haven't touched on a lot is sort of the wider London, you know, kind of what else can you do when you're here and what should you do when you're here to get the most of your experience, and sort of incorporating a little bit more of that into the Crack in London, because at the end of the day, the Crack is where you are. You know, it's kind of like, it doesn't necessarily have to be an Irish bar full of Irish people. You should try and bring the Crack if you're so inclined to do so. If you've got it in you, bring it.
I mean, if there's ever been better advice on this podcast, I certainly can't remember it, because I definitely think there is, you know, and again, it comes up, and I think about it all the time when I have these conversations, is that like, we talk about the global Irish community, the global Irish diaspora, but like, you are the global Irish community, like we all are the global Irish community. And with that, I hope comes a sense of not negative responsibility, but positive responsibility to carry that far and wide. Like I said in a recent conversation with someone, that like, we've been doing this for hundreds of thousands of years, but this is the first time in the digital era. Like, this is what Greener Fields is doing, is trying to capture this, but this isn't new to Irish people. We have been emigrating and traveling the world for a very, very long time. And I think, you know, with that, it's like I'm having a glass of water in a Guinness pint glass right now. It's like, of course I am. And there's something about that we have. And I think when I have these conversations with people living completely different lives to my own, and different thoughts and opinions and all that good stuff, it's like, there's still something that we can connect with. And I'm like you said, bring the Crack with you, like bring that sense of fun, community, connection, music, culture, all that stuff, because I have to think we'd all be better off if we just expressed that a little bit more. How can we follow you? Where are you? Is it just TikTok? Is it Instagram? This is your last chance to plug the Crack in London.
I don't know if you watch Hot Ones, but that's what I feel like. It's like the end of the like, roll out the red carpet. Tell us what you're doing with your life.
30 seconds.
So please follow the Crack in London, spelled like crack in Ireland, not crack like your bum. The Crack in London on TikTok, and the same spelling on Instagram. I'm on both of those places now, and then we'll never know where else it might pop up later, but I'll always share what I'm doing on both of those platforms.
Wonderful. And as will we on Greener Fields, because like I said, you're part of the Greener Fields community now, and we are very supportive, because we're so grateful to everyone to come on and have a conversation with me in the first place. It has been an absolute pleasure, Jordan. Best of luck with everything, and thank you so much for joining me for a conversation on Greener Fields.
Thank you, Hannah. It's been a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Greener Fields. To get involved, follow us on Instagram at Greener Fields, and let us know who you'd like us to talk to next. Thank you so much again, and I'll chat to you really soon.